Welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic Community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic Community. It is the 16th Sunday of Ordinary Time. The readings are from Cycle A.
Baptism families, if any of the kids get fussy during the homily, just do what you do, okay? And if any of the older brothers and sisters or cousins or anybody needs to take a break, just take a break. All right, I told you at the beginning that a parable is supposed to rattle around in your head. It's supposed to leave you off guard. And so I don't think it's really appropriate to preach a parable and tie the homily up in a bow at the end. I think the homily also should leave you with your head scratching. So I just wanted to get you ready, because I think the thing that needs to happen inside your mind and heart. And I'm going to give you a little material to work with. I think the Spirit of God is perfectly capable of speaking inside of you, and maybe I can help that happen. But I'm going to give you a little context of the parable. Jesus was living in a time in Palestine when the economics, especially the agricultural economics of the place, was changing a lot. They had been conquered, and they were living in a period that was the peace of Augustus. Rome had finished conquering everybody there was to conquer. And after they were done with that, they started consolidating the empire, building up the road systems, and doing what empires often do. Empires throughout history, once they're established, often look to the distant places that they've conquered, figure out what's valuable there, and figure out how to get it to capital city. If it's gold, or it's silver, or it's grain, or it's fish, they try to figure out how to get the resources that they now are in control of and how to bring them home. Problem for the Romans was that, if you can think of the coastline of Israel along the Mediterranean, it's practically a straight line. There's no natural port, nothing like San Francisco Bay that you can easily come into and dock. The Romans solved that by building an artificial port at Caesarea Maritima. It's still there. It's in ruins, but you can see pieces of it poking up out of the sea. They built an artificial harbor where the Romans could come and park their ships, load them up with the produce of the land, and then take it all back to Rome. A generation or two before, people might have owned small farms, but that's gone away, and it's kind of been taken over by agribusiness, and now the people that used to own the farms are now working on them for some other landowner. So when you hear a story of Jesus talking about there was a landowner and then there were slaves, chances are most of his audience was the enslaved, or the ones that really don't like landowners. So you might hear this story from that point of view, and it has a kind of an angry tone in it already. It's possible that if you heard it from that point of view, and you were the slave that had to go out and sow the seed, you did your job, you did what you were told, and now it's coming up full of weeds. What might you think? This is going to get blamed on me. It has an echo of the garden. Do you remember? After the fall, do you remember how the blaming starts? It was that woman you put here with me. It was that serpent. It has an echo of that, in that the slaves, the landowner probably never touched the dirt. But the slaves did, and they went to the landowner and said, "Hey, what about that seed you gave us? We thought it was good seed. Why are all these weeds coming up?" They're trying to see if they can kind of get off the hot seat. So there could be that going on. And there's the possibility of the anger between haves and have-nots. So there's that. Then there's the overarching theme that Jesus has sent the disciples out to preach the word of God, and they find that they go into a town and they preach, and some people are glad they're here, entertain them, hear the message, get baptized, and other people want to run them out of town on a rail. So they have this mixed results thing going on. Like, some of it's like wheat, some of it's like weeds. We thought we were here to do a good thing, and all we got was a bunch of grief. So there's that way that it can be heard. But I've heard the story a lot of times, and I read a commentary this week that just astounded me. Someone did a word study of the particular weed that was being discussed. Do you have any idea what people call that weed? There's going to be a day in the lives of you parents when you're going to have to make sure, and my dad would have washed my mouth out with soap. The weed is called effing weed. Did you hear me? It's the F word. Effing weed. That's what Jesus is talking about. So he was shocking people. He's this, whatever he is, they can't always figure out what he is, but he's something. And he's talking about effing weed. The reason this weed was called that was it looked so much like wheat, and it came up and it grew just like the wheat did, but it had a toxin in it. And if you didn't separate it out, it made the whole crop useless. And it looked so much like it that the only real way to get rid of it was while they were still little plants, you went in on your hands and knees and pulled every one of the effing weeds up. So the people that plant the seed and are close to the land know that that's what you really ought to do if you want to solve this problem. And so they come to the landowner with a perfectly reasonable suggestion. Do you want us to go out in the field and pick the effing weeds? Okay. But then, as always happens in parables, the thing that you expect would be the answer isn't. The landowner says, nope, just let them keep growing. Let them grow together. If you pull up the one, you're going to probably uproot the other. The word of the Lord. So, what are you supposed to do with that? I don't know if you ever use that kind of language, if it ever comes out of your mouth, or if it ever at least forms in your mind and heart. But if you do, or if you ever have, what was the object? Who was on the other end of the descriptor? Who's that effing weed that shouldn't be on the road? You shouldn't have a driver's license. Ought to be locked up. And do you know, I don't know if you remember this from the book of Genesis, after the fall, that whole misfortunate thing that happens in Eden, and then everything kind of goes to hell after that. It just gets worse and worse and worse, and then there's monsters and giants and all kind of weird things in some of the chapters of Genesis after you leave the garden, until the whole of creation seems to be devolving, falling apart, until God has to just clean the whole thing up with a flood. Remember? Well, during that period of devolution, a story grew up about effing weed. It looked so much like wheat that what they thought was even the plant life took part in the degradation of creation that happened after the fall. And the wheat went messing around. And it interbred and it created this effing weed. So Jesus is using this story about your surroundings. And it sounds like you ought to be justified in doing the sensible thing. The world would be a better place if we just got rid of, yes, whoever you want to nominate. And the landowner in the story ends up saying, well, you could do that. But there would be negative consequences to doing that too. Let's let them grow together. At the end, charge of the harvest. I'll be the one to do the separating. I'll see that the weeds are bundled up and the wheat is bundled up. And one will feed people and the other will warm people. We'll burn the one, turn the other into flour. The weeds are going to warm somebody. The wheat's going to feed somebody. Part of the moral of it is certainly, I don't think there's only one in a parable, but part of it that I heard a long time ago from a spiritual director was, remember that some of the time, Nathan, you're in charge of outcomes, but not all the time. Perfect. We just had a sound effect up here in the fourth row. Mine, yeah, an outcome, yeah, which is right where I'm going. My title, one of my titles here is Director of Catholic Community at Stanford. Director. Dia means through. Rector is related to rectum. To see a thing all the way through to the end. So when I'm directing, or any of you that are directors of anything, your job is to see a thing through all the way to the end. Just yesterday, we had a finance board meeting, and you were there, Bowery. We ended the year in the black, didn't we? Second year in a row. We didn't lose any money, and we did ministry all year long. Right? So, hooray for us. I was part of directing the community over the course of the year, not losing money in the process. Hooray. Then there are other times when you're really not in charge of the outcome, and boy, that's where parenting comes in. Because as much as you want to guard them and guide them and teach them and everything, you don't get to be in charge of the finished product. All you get to do is assist and be around on the edges. And that's great, because it can take you off the hook. There's times when you need to remember that, as a spiritual director once told me, the world has a savior, Nathan, and you're not it. The same guy told me, when you get to heaven, Nathan, you're going to want to improve it. So I think there's at least one way to take this parable, is that you don't have to be in charge of everything. Even when you think it makes the most sense and you're the man with the plan. That in this parable, that might not be what's being asked of you. Because you might not be seeing it as fully as the landowner. Well, I told you I wasn't going to tie this thing up in a bow, and I'm getting perilously close to that. That's certainly one way you can take it. But another might be, is there any place in here where I'm on my way to pull up the weeds and boy, let me at them. I'd like to rid the world of X, Y, and Z. And if there's anything of that in you, let the parable rattle around in you just a little bit more. And remember that even the weeds had a use at the end. In any event, I hope that this parable, if I do my job well, will be like a nasty jingle. Think of the most annoying jingle in a commercial that you've ever heard. And listen to it all week in your head. Can you think of an annoying jingle? He's trying not to. And then go back to this story when you pray this week and say, you're allowed in me, and you're allowed to stretch me in my imagination. If you get to do what you want to do in me, how would you change my heart so that I'm not on my way to pull up the weeds in your field and expect a round of applause for it?
Thank you for listening to the Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu. Email us at catholic@stanford.edu or call us at 650-725-0080.
we invite you to visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union at the Center for Interreligious Community, Learning and Experiences, or mail us at The Catholic Community at Stanford, P.O. Box 20301, Stanford, California 94309. Till next time, may God bless you.